We're coming to John chapter 2 this morning for a short time. We want to think about the first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. I know on the Sunday evening that we've already studied this passage as we looked at the miracles of our Savior. But I want us to come back to it today, because here we have a great miracle that takes place and it relates to marriage. We're thinking today about marriage. We're praying today for marriage. And I believe that this is a very appropriate passage for us to consider. You'll notice, first of all, the invitation. The invitation. We read there that Jesus was called. Jesus was called to this wedding. Do you know the Mormons teach that this was Jesus' own wedding and that he was getting married to Mary and Martha? Well, you only have to read the passage to see that that's not true. It's a lie. Because how could you be called, invited to a wedding when you're the groom? Jesus was invited, he was called to this wedding. We don't know whose wedding it was, and you know, why should we speculate today? That's not the important point. But the important point is that the Lord Jesus received an invitation. Do you know, as we think of the vote that will take place in the House of Lords on Tuesday, we have been inviting the Lord, haven't we? Because we have been praying to him. We have been calling out to him. And I'm sure that you've been praying in your own home about this issue, and we've been praying in the prayer meetings in the church about this issue. We have been doing what was done in John chapter 2, inviting the Lord. You see, as we think of the vote on Tuesday, and as we think of this whole wicked bill that's being forced through Parliament, and corners are being cut, and all kind of tactics and skullduggery are being engaged in to try to get it through. We need the Lord to come. And of course, the Lord comes to the wedding in John chapter 2. He received the invitation and he came. You know how you, when you receive an invitation for a wedding, you've got those four letters, isn't it? RSVP. And it's French and just means respond, please. Please respond. And every one of us respond, whether we can go or not, we respond. And we like to go to weddings because weddings are scriptural, and it's good to go to a marriage because marriage is under attack more and more, and more and more people today are living together outside of marriage. Cohabitation. It's sad. And it's sinful. It's living in sin. But you know, people don't bat an eyelid at it today. But people who are living in sin need to remember Hebrews 13 verse 4. It applies to them just as much as to homosexuals. Just as much as it does to adulterers. God will judge. God will judge. But the Lord Jesus receives the invitation and he goes to the wedding. He comes where he was needed. And let me say this, he came where he was wanted. Obviously, the couple who were getting married that day, obviously they wanted the Lord there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given him an invitation. We want the Lord to come on Tuesday to the House of Lords, and we want him to intervene and to answer prayer. And maybe you're saying today, well, what's the big deal? Why make such a fuss about this whole issue? Well, I hope if you're married, you're not saying that. Because if you're married today, this should be especially important to you. If you're married, this should upset you, this whole gay marriage bill. This whole push by the powers that be to bring this into law, this should really annoy you if you're married. Because the institution that you entered into on your marriage day is being attacked. And your marriage is being attacked. My marriage is being attacked by this. Your marriage is being undermined. So's mine. It's not making a mountain out of a molehill. This is something that is of great importance. The invitation. I wonder, have you invited the Lord to come on Tuesday to the House of Lords? Have you prayed about the matter? There's the invitation that reminds us of prayer. There's also the incident. You see, think about the incident that took place at this marriage. Mary says to Jesus, "They have no wine. They have no wine." You see, there was a dilemma. A problem had arisen. It was a very, very embarrassing situation. It was a very serious situation here. Maybe you say, well, sure, it was only that they didn't have any wine. You know, what's so unusual about that? Could they not just have got on with some other beverage? Well, actually, back in Bible times, a marriage where there was no wine, you know, the groom could have been sued. The groom could have been sued. He was responsible for the catering. He was responsible for organizing the reception. And remember that the reception didn't just take place for one evening. It took place for like a whole week. That was the custom. No wine for a week. It's a very serious matter. It was a very serious incident. You know, as we think about the vote on Tuesday, and as we think about the votes that have already taken place in the House of Commons, how 366 MPs voted for this wickedness, this abomination, do we not have to say, Lord, there's a problem here? Lord, it's a very serious incident that has taken place here. There's a dilemma. And we're in great need. Is that not what we have to say? You see, we've read Hebrews 13 and verse 4. And it says that marriage is honorable in all. Marriage is honorable. It's a matter of honor. The honor of God's institution is at stake. Now, I don't share the idea or the opinion that if gay marriage is legalized in our country, I don't share this opinion and this, you know, attitude that people have today, some Christians have, that, oh, marriage is going to be destroyed and marriage is going to be redefined and there'll be no such thing as marriage. Let's remember that marriage will always be marriage. As far as God is concerned, it'll always be one man and one woman. You know, the government, they can try to redefine and change terms and introduce gay marriage. But, you know, it's all a pointless exercise because the Almighty, He says, it's still the same. It's still one man and one woman. And that's always the way it will be. Now, that's not to say that we don't take a stand and we don't pray against this. Of course we do. But let's not, you know, get anxious and get afraid and worried that somehow this has taken the Lord by surprise and somehow the Lord is going to be defeated in all of this. That's not the case. Marriage is one man, one woman. I referred last Sunday to question time on the Thursday night and Ian Paisley Jr., who was the only one on the panel who spoke up for traditional marriage. I liked one thing that he said. There's somebody in the crowd who said, "This, how does God affect you? What to you if two people marry? How is it going to affect your life? Why don't you just live and let live? I like the way he answered. He said, call it by another name. This relationship, this law that you're trying to bring in, don't call it marriage, because that's not what it is. Get another name for it. Find another term for it. That's what ought to be done. Because two men, two women, will never, ever be marriage. The incident, the invitation. Thank God for the intervention. The intervention. Because we're told there at the end of the passage, the master of ceremonies, you could call him, he calls the bridegroom and he says, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The Lord Jesus intervened in that situation. He caused the water in those water pots to turn into wine. He just had to will it. We're not told that Jesus even said anything. We're not told that he even spoke a word. He just willed it. He just wanted it to happen. And because he's the Almighty, he had the power to make it happen. And in a moment of time, instantaneously, the water turned into wine. Someone has said that the water blushed before the power of the Almighty. Incarnate Son of God, who was there that day. And this great miracle took place. Oh, what an intervention. We need Jesus to intervene on Tuesday, isn't that right? Oh, how we need the Lord to step in. You'll notice there in this passage that Jesus is the only one who's mentioned by name. You can read it. There's no other name that's mentioned. His is the only name that's mentioned. I know there are other people that are mentioned, but his is the only name that's mentioned. You see, it's all about him, isn't it? Everything's about him. You've heard me say before that history is his story. The gospel is all about Jesus. Salvation is all about him. The Christian life is all about him. The church is all about him. This book is all about him. He's the only one who's worth considering. And you see, he's the one that we must look to on Tuesday to answer prayer. We must look to the Lord. In John 2, the person who was the center of attention was Jesus. And as we pray for the Lord to perform a miracle on Tuesday, as we pray that this bill would be defeated, we need the Lord himself to answer prayer. And he's the one that we must fix our attention upon. And we trust that he will answer prayer and that he'll be greatly glorified. But, listen to this. Even if the vote goes through, and even if our country follows a number of other countries who have made a catastrophic mistake by legalizing gay marriage, even if that happens, God will still be on the throne. He's sovereign. Oh, don't think today somehow that if these evildoers in our parliament somehow get their way, don't think that somehow God will be knocked off his throne. No, he'll always be on the throne. He will always reign. The Lord Jesus saved the best wine till the last here. Don't we say that? Don't we use that phrase sometimes? Save the best for last. Well, that's what happened here. And you know, on Tuesday, maybe the Lord's going to do that. Maybe he's going to wait to the end, to the very last minute, and he's going to step in. He's going to intervene. Sometimes the Lord does that. He steps in. He performs the miracle. He intervenes just in the nick of time, you would say. His timing is always perfect. You can go home and read Genesis 22. We read there about Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain, Mount Moriah. And you see, it tells us that Abraham lifted the knife and he was about to plunge the knife into his own son. But then the Lord stepped in. And then the Lord said, there's the ram. Sacrifice it in Isaac's place just at the right time. You know, God's timing is always perfect. You know, as I think about this whole sad situation, this sorry situation, there's one reason, perhaps more than any other reason, why I get so passionate about it. Here it is. Gay marriage is an attack upon my Savior. Gay marriage is an attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 that marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Marriage is a picture of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made in order to purchase for himself a bride. And you know, behind all the shenanigans that are going on in the House of Commons and in other places up and down the land, behind it all, it's a hatred for Christ. And you see, that's why I get so worked up about it. Whenever people attack our blessed Savior, we ought to get worked up. Oh, we ought to be annoyed. So today is a day of prayer for marriage, a national day of prayer. You know, back during World War II, there were days of prayer. Sunday, the 26th of May, 1940, when the British Expeditionary Force was fleeing under Nazi fire toward Dunkirk Beach, God's people met together for prayer, a national day of prayer. What happened? 5 days later, most of the army got safely home through the fogs of Dunkirk. A miracle took place. Then on Sunday, the 23rd of March, 1941, as Hitler advanced through the Balkans, and it seemed to be that he was unstoppable, again a day of prayer, a national day of prayer, and once again God stepped in. Now, here's the connection. There was war back in the 1940s, and there's war today. Did you know that? In 2013, there's a war. No, I'm not talking about Afghanistan or some other part of the world. Listen, there's a war on marriage. A war is being waged against marriage today. We could go further. We could say a war is being waged against everything that Christians hold dear today. Okay, so what do you do in war? Day of prayer. Seek his face. Pray for divine intervention. I trust today and over the days to come, I trust that you will be much at the throne of grace, praying that God will have mercy upon our nation. Let's turn, please, to our final hymn. It's 668, number 668. Visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival, save in thy life-giving breath? Do you know what the real need of the hour is? Revival. You know, we think about all these laws that the government are bringing in. There's one thing that will stop it. There's one thing that will drive the enemy back. It's the revival of the church. And that's what we need to pray for. Let's make this the prayer of our heart today. We're going to sing the first verse only and the chorus of 668.